Radio.
What's going on, everybody? We are back. Episode 241 of the Dark Windows podcast. My name is Soar.
And I'm Ouch. We didn't plan that.
No, I didn't. But I am sore as shit.
And he just said I was old.
Yeah.
I said I was sore, but he goes, "You're just old." I'm like, okay, fine.
Well, I started going back to the gym, and now I'm sore because I stopped going to the gym when I shouldn't have. And then starting back up when you're older sucks. But it's okay. It's okay. Feels good to, you know, be tired for a reason when I get home from work. But anyway, yeah. Kevin, other than looking at real estate, what are we doing this week?
We're on the road trip.
Yeah. Again. Literally looking at real estate while we're talking because, believe it or not, both of us hate this goddamn state. I hate this entire part of the country. I want out of it. So, Yeah. We haven't quite covered where I'm looking yet. We've already covered where you're looking.
I don't know where I'm looking.
You're currently looking at Alabama.
Whatever.
So,
I mean, it doesn't mean
at least it's not Arkansas. You can't move to Arkansas because you don't have kinfolk to fuck there.
I don't have any folk there.
No, you just have to go to Alabama and forget how to read. Or is that Mississippi? It might be Mississippi. One of the two. Either way. Yeah, one of them's got like one of the two of them has the lowest literacy rate in the country. It may be Alabama because they have one of the best football teams in the country. And you don't have to know how to read to play for Alabama, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
You just have to be a grown ass man that's ready for the NFL out of high school. Go and just suck Nick Saban's dick right clean off and
see, first off, you know, I would not be going. No. See, if I lived in Alabama, there's no fucking way I'm going to watch. No.
No.
No,
I wouldn't because you have taste.
I wouldn't be saying Moltide.
No, fuck that noise.
No.
My only problem is if I move south, I might get beat up over my baseball teams. So.
Why?
Because that's Braves country, and I'm a Blue Jays and Pirates fan.
Okay, maybe for the Pirates part. You know, I mean.
Because I really had to. When we were down there on vacation, I was sitting with my uncle. He was watching a Braves game, and they were playing. I want to say they were playing the Orioles, and they were getting their asses handed to them. And I had to hold back the laughter while the Braves were getting beat. I was like, oh, man, I love it.
Yes, but
I'm an AL East guy at heart. I always will be. It's just how it is.
I mean, you grow up as, you know.
As a Red Sox fan.
And.
I became less of a Red Sox fan because I can't watch them anymore.
And a Braves fan.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Mostly for Fred McGriff and Bobby Cox.
Crime dog.
Who, by the way, holds the record for the most ejections for any manager in Major League Baseball history. He's ejected like 180-something times.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bobby Cox didn't give a fuck.
He don't give two shits.
So, speaking of not giving a shit, let's go. We're headed to Cornhusker country. We're going to Nebraska.
Go Huskers.
So when you think of the whole like amber waves of grain thing, Nebraska could definitely come to mind. Lots of flat land, good for farming, good for raising livestock, good for raising big, thick boys to fill out the ranks of the Cornhusker sidelines on a fall day on the Saturdays.
You know it.
Believe it or not, a lot of white people in Nebraska. Shocker, I know.
I have family that lives there.
Yeah, you are aggressively white, just like me.
Whatever.
You know, like look at the heritage. There's not much else there. It's pretty white. So it comes into the respectable 78,000 square miles, which makes it the 16th largest state in the country. Just a hair under 2 million people live there, with Omaha being home to 467,000 people.
Omaha. Yeah.
The capital of Lincoln has a little less than half of that at 285,000 people.
Yep.
But I've noticed, as we've gone through this, I've noticed there's always that one city that's got a much higher population than the capital.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm assuming it's like here, where nobody wants to live in the capital because fucking taxes are ridiculous there.
Yeah.
Also, the only thing to do in the capital of Vermont is go to the only one that doesn't have a McDonald's in it and buy heroin. Or also sit in the DMV for a full work shift, basically, to get stuff done. You know, but you go up there and call our governor an asshole, which, I mean, I've thought about doing before.
Hey, what the hell, right?
Did I ever tell you, like, when I was doing pest control, I had to go through, like, all the government buildings and stuff like that up there? And,
maybe?
So, I went through the building that's got, like, the IRS office, all the senators and congress people's offices and shit like that in it. So, the first time I went in there, I tried to go through, like, you know, they run me through the metal detector, all that shit.
Uh-huh.
And, throw my crap in the tray and they run it through. And a guard stops me when he sees my wallet and he goes, "What the hell is that? What the fuck are you talking about? There's something metal in your wallet." I'm like, "Oh, it's one of those like flat multi-tool things. It's like the side of a credit card that,
yeah,
you know, it's got a razor blade. It's got like a fucking flathead screwdriver and a little like ruler kind of dealy on it. You can't take that in there. You could hurt somebody with it." I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about? What if you were to attack a senator with it?" And like, "I'm in here with fucking chemicals, dude. You're worried about a screwdriver?" So I had to fight the urge every time I walked through Patrick Leahy and Bernie Sanders' offices to not shit on their desk. I did crop dust Leahy's office a couple of times. So walk in there and just fucking fart the entire time I was in there. Oh, so nice. Fuck that guy. Anyway. So let's get into some fun facts about Nebraska. I think
you really should tell us how you really feel.
I really don't like him because he's super anti-gun. But the one time I met him, he was at the Ford dealership I was working at the time. And he came in with four visibly armed men.
Oh.
But this is the guy who says that we're not supposed to we can't have them anymore.
Mm.
But he can.
Well, I mean, there's a difference.
Yeah. And one of them had a fucking like shoulder holstered MP7, which made me really, really goddamn mad because I want one of those. But yeah, you know, we're us peasants shouldn't have weapons. Only the, you know,
true.
We're not, we won't get into that. This isn't Patreon. We're not going to bitch about politics here. So some fun facts. Somewhere between 1920 and 1935, a Lithuanian grocer by the name of Ruben Kolofsky took two slices of rye bread, spread Russian dressing on it, added Swiss cheese, some pastrami, then just said fuck it and threw a pile of sauerkraut on there for good measure. On that fateful day in Omaha, the Reuben sandwich was born. One of my personal favorites. I'm not big on pastrami. I'll do it with corned beef or turkey. Good. Just don't like pastrami that much. 1927 saw another creation that we all know and love. White people love it. Black people love it. For what I understand, it's made very differently between the two communities, though. But thanks to Edwin Perkins, we have Kool-Aid. So I've been told black people make Kool-Aid completely different than white folks. I don't know if people think we just do the fucking water in a packet and we don't put anything else in it. But I can tell you how I didn't end up with diabetes as a child from the Kool-Aid that I made. Not a fucking clue. Because we're talking like a cup of sugar in that bitch and stir it up with a big wooden spoon. Yeah.
I don't know.
I've heard from people that are like, if you grew up with a black friend and you went over to their house and they had Kool-Aid, it was way better than what you had at home. Don't know why. No idea what they're doing differently to it. No clue.
If I made Kool-Aid, it was out of a fucking container and then we put the scoops in and then boom, done.
You didn't put sugar in it?
No.
That's the difference because I think that's the difference because I used to do a lot of fucking sugar in it because it was the packet. You rip the top off, bam, in the water, sugar, stir that shit up.
No, we didn't. No. See.
So you're just drinking flavored water.
Sure. We had the fucking Kool-Aid in a container.
Right, with the big screw off top.
Yeah, and you fucking did a couple scoops in the fucking thing. Cold water, stir it.
So I think that the ones with the screw off tops like that, I think had sugar in them. If you made it from the packet, it didn't. That was just changing the color of water.
There we went. Boom.
And it's like, I will fight people, though. Cause
we didn't do the whole packet thing.
Oh. People, what the fuck flavor is Sharkleberry Finn? It's the fucking second best Kool-Aid flavor after Tropical Punch. So eat dicks.
Well, I wouldn't know what Sharkleberry Finn.
Dude, oh my god, it was the pink one. But it was like, it was almost like a strawberry watermelon.
Mm.
It was good shit. Loved it. And I think we kind of need to stop sullying the good name of Kool-Aid, you know, associating it with the Jamestown thing. It's 2023. You have the internet. You know by now that it was Flavor-Aid, and if you don't, that's willful ignorance on your part. So quit blaming Kool-Aid. Because, I mean, fucking Kool-Aid Man didn't bust through the side of that thing and be like, oh, shit, these people are all dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the military is going to have to come down here and pick them up with snow shovels. Literally, there's pictures and videos of it because of the humidity and how long they took to get there.
Yeah.
They were just slop with bones in it. It's pretty fucking gnarly. In Alliance, Nebraska, the Carhenge site has 39 automobiles arranged to imitate the design of Stonehenge. Jim Reidners, who's the guy that created the whole thing, did it as a tribute to his dad. So he made Stonehenge out of cars, which is kind of fucking cool.
That's cool.
April of 1945, the Japanese exploded a bomb over Dundee, Nebraska. It's only caused a slight amount of damage, but the incident was not reported until after the end of the war. Here's a fun one for all you archaeology nerds out there. I don't know if there is any or not, but...
I don't know.
Fuck it.
I want to hear it.
As many as 10 mammoth fossils are buried under an average square mile of land in Nebraska. Mammoth bones have been found in all 93 counties of the state.
Okay.
University of Nebraska State Museum displays the bones of the largest mammoth discovered in the state.
Hmm.
Which is pretty damn cool.
I didn't know that. Huh. I didn't know that there was that many.
Oh, yeah. We were fucking lousy with mammoths, dude.
I didn't know that was that many there.
We had almost too many mammoths.
Because I know, like, what was it? What the fuck? I saw a show. I was watching a show. What the fuck was it called? Damn it, I can't think of it now. Bone Collectors or Bone? I can't think of the name of it.
Like one of those, like, America Unearthed kind of things?
No. It was, kind of like, yeah, but it was like, they're kind of like, I don't know, bone hunters or some shit like that, where they'd fucking go out to like the Badlands or like different little spots and they'd fucking look for, dinosaur bones. And what they do is they try to find them, like they try to almost try to find like a complete one, you know, and get it all together and then sell it. And like, they were talking about how, like, mammoth bones are, you know, like one of the big ones. But I mean, they, you know, they could find a whole bunch of others. And these guys ended up finding like a whole, I think it was a Triceratops.
No shit.
Like a complete one.
No shit. Jesus.
They were like, that's like diamond in the rough.
Yeah, to find a complete skeleton like all together, that's probably pretty rare.
Yeah.
Let's get into some dumb laws, and Jesus, does Nebraska have some?
I love dumb laws.
Under state law, I almost wanted to put this one at the end because it's just that stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Under state law, if you have gonorrhea, you are not allowed to get married until you clear it up.
I wouldn't call that dumb. I call that being considerate.
But if you're marrying somebody, you should probably know that they have that already. I mean, it's a...
Well, what if they contracted it before you knew it?
You'd probably figured it out by then.
Okay, fine.
It's a fucking, like, gnarly discharge coming out of your dick or lady bits. Not pleasant.
Okay.
I know they can clear it up with a pill now, but you still have to, like, up your, what's the scientific word for it there? Piss tube with a thing, like a Q-tip, and clear it all out. It was pretty gnarly. Mm. If your child burps or sneezes during church service, you as the parent can be arrested. For interrupting services.
Yeah. That'd be you.
They don't give a fuck if it's like a funeral or something, whatever. But if, like, you know, the pastor's up there going to town and you, you know, rip off a sneeze, you're going to jail.
See, that'd be you. You
Well, here's the thing. No, because I wouldn't be at church because I don't go to church because it's not my thing.
It's true.
You can do whatever you want. That's fine. It's just not for me. It is illegal to whale fish within state limits. A landlocked state, middle of the country, no whales in it. So probably a good thing we made a law about that. People got paid to write that law. This is why our government is a waste of time.
I'm dumbfounded, but
I guarantee you these same people voted to get themselves a raise too.
Probably.
A bar cannot, I agree with this one. I like this one. A bar cannot legally sell beer unless they are making soup in the back as well.
Okay.
You know, nothing wrong with soup. You have to have food at a bar. Even if it's a bag of peanuts or whatever, you have to have food there.
Never used to, but I mean, well, technically now, well, it used to be you had to have some kind of like chips or something like that.
Right.
But now you actually have to have real food.
Right.
So like that soup, or you have to have nachos.
To sober people up before they
drive off into the night. You have to have that.
Yeah. As a man, you cannot show off a shaved chest in public. Fair enough.
Well, that's just, I mean,
you shouldn't, if you're a dude, you shouldn't be shaving your chest anyway.
Just okay.
Let that shit hang out. Be proud of it.
Fine. I'm just saying, okay.
A mother cannot give her daughter a perm without a state licensed permit.
So she basically has to be a beautician.
Yes. To give somebody a perm.
Okay.
Which, you mean, that kind of makes sense because there's a lot of chemicals and shit to go with a perm, I guess.
Yeah, you could burn your daughter's scalp.
Yeah. And also, you shouldn't be giving anybody a perm unless they already have a mullet to go with it. Because the permed mullet is like peak male haircut. You will get everyone in a 10-meter range pregnant on, instantly pregnant with a haircut.
See, everybody, I'm thinking that Kevin, since he's got the fucking locks of love flowing, I think we should, everybody.
Let me stop you there.
Let me stop you there. I think everybody.
I know where you're going. Let me stop you there. I've already been told no to the mullet. I've asked and I was told no, which means I'm not allowed to get a mullet and then have it permed either.
Well, so, I'm just saying.
I've been told no.
If everybody.
And she outranks you.
Yeah, but if everybody on the podcast.
No, she outranks you in general as like an entirety of a species of humans. She outranks everybody in that matter. So, unfortunately.
It's your hair.
Because I could pull off a fucking incredible mullet.
I think you could.
I would just be Kenny Powers for Halloween.
Mm.
Be great.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who that is, so it's fine.
No, I don't.
You have HBO Max. Go watch Eastbound and Down. It's Danny McBride as a fucking washed up baseball player trying to get back into the minor leagues, and it's ridiculous. It's so goddamn funny.
Okay.
So funny.
So good. So good.
Yeah. He ends up playing in Mexico for a little bit for the Churros. Fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So some famous folks from Nebraska, Don Vito Corleone may have been the boss in New York, but Marlon Brando was born in Omaha. Civil rights activist Malcolm Little, a.k.a. Malcolm X, was also born in Omaha in 1925.
I did not know that.
Yes, they let black people live in Nebraska, Kevin.
Whoa, Kevin.
I saw the fucking...
No.
Oh, dude.
I just didn't know that Malcolm X was born in Nebraska.
So you didn't see it, though, but I saw that Klan hood starting to sneak up over the back of your head.
Wow.
It's like the fucking hand of a ghost. It's like, oh, shit.
Wow.
Creator of one of the funniest mugshots of all time, Nick Nolte, also born in Omaha, 1941. Have you seen that one? When he got busted for a fucking DUI?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, dude, it looks like he licked a car battery.
Yeah.
His shit is everywhere. One of the most forgettable presidents of all time, Gerald Ford, also born in Omaha, 1913.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're such a fan of Gerald Ford, name me three songs. Nobody can do it. Three things that he did, other than be on the fucking Simpsons.
I mean, he got into office because Tricky Dick fucking had to, you know, back down.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, what else did he do? Had a receding hairline. I think he's dead now. And then he was in there before Reagan.
Yeah.
That's the three most important things that he's ever done.
Yeah.
And one of them was fucking dying. Dan Whitney, who nobody's ever heard of that person, was born in Pawnee City.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
Fortunately, Larry the Cable Guy was born the same day in the same place to the same parents.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yep. And this one doesn't require any explanation. L. Ron goddamn Hubbard was born in Tilden, Nebraska.
He should have just been swallowed.
Dude, he was a fucking science fiction writer turned messiah to just get fucking rich people's money.
Turned nutbag.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, nobody is... You can't make yourself the fucking head of a religion. You kind of have to... Because he tried to make himself that whole, like, hey, check it out, I'm Jesus thing. No, you're really not. You're a fat, bald little weirdo from the middle of nowhere.
And just think, that religion that he started so many years ago
is... Which we're not going to name for legal reasons because they'll sue us.
Fuck them.
I like the whole, well, you know what Scientologists do? It's like, they'll follow people around. That's great. Try it. Try it.
Follow.
Please. I've got 20 inches and 30 things that come out of it that tell them it's a really bad idea to do so. What do you send fucking Tom Cruise, all 4 foot three of them over here? I will punt him off my porch. Little fuck.
Him and his perfect teeth that are fucking wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that they have to, like, there's behind the scenes shit. Where when they put him next to any other actor in a movie, he's standing on a box to make him look taller because he's legitimately like 5'1".
Yeah,
yeah. He's a wee little shit. You use him as a fucking you could stand him here, just put your drink on his head and be like, "Don't move, dickhead." The only good thing you ever did was fucking Days of Thunder. Shut up.
He wasn't even
Top
the best.
Gun was good. I haven't seen the new one. The first one was good though. If it wasn't for Top Gun, we wouldn't have Hot Shots, and Hot Shots is fantastic.
All right, fine. I get it. I mean...
You know? What else has Tom Cruise done that's like, wow, that was a great movie. I really need to go watch that because Tom Cruise is in it.
Well, okay. He did have a good role in...
Hold on. Let me change my question. What's a movie that if they changed Tom Cruise for any other actor, it would have been worse?
I don't know.
Because there's not one. You could replace him with anybody, and the movie would be just as good, if not better. There's not one movie that you're like, man, if Tom Cruise wasn't in this, it would suck. Yeah. My favorite thing he ever did was fucking Tropic Thunder.
Yes.
And he was in a fat suit.
Yes.
And just being an asshole.
Yeah.
And he was good at that.
Yeah, that okay, that one movie.
But
that's...
still, you could have found somebody else, another serious actor, to do that. You could have put Brad Pitt in a fat suit and made him an asshole, and it would have been great.
True, because Brad Pitt is kind of funny.
Or you could have put fucking Christian Bale in a fat suit and made him an asshole, and it would have been fantastic.
Mm. True.
Tom Cruise? Nobody needs him.
But, I mean, he did pull it off well.
He did, but, again, anybody else could have done that.
But, I mean...
You could have had Matthew McConaughey play two characters in that movie. Could have played his agent and also the fat guy. It'd just been a real dickhead. Would have been great. Could have thrown Woody Harrelson in there. It would have been awesome.
But I mean, that was just like a supporting role, and it wasn't even the best role in the whole fucking movie.
It wasn't, because that was Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Never go full retard. Never.
Holding all people down. What do you mean, all people? Man, that's the theme song from the Jeffersons. It doesn't mean it ain't true.
I never break character.
God damn it, I love that movie.
I never break character until after they've done
the DVD commentary. And then he does the fucking DVD commentary in character.
Yeah.
God damn it. Man, that's amazing. Anyway,
that was really good movie.
Love that movie.
What do you mean, our people?
Jack Black played a fat crackhead actor. Oh, so good. He fucked the buffalo.
That was great. I would see.
You
that.
Can't even buy it in fucking like Walmart anymore because everybody pulled it off the shelves because it's offensive.
To who?
Fucking everybody under the age of 30, because Robert Downey Jr. plays a black guy.
Well, that was the whole point of it.
I know. And he's not even playing a black guy. He's playing an Australian guy who's playing a black guy. Therefore, it's only like half blackface.
Or as he said, he's a dude disguised as a dude playing another dude.
So it's only like half blackface. It's not even that bad.
Yeah.
Not like he was out there being super offensive.
No.
It was fucking hilarious.
Exactly.
And if you think it was offensive, you're wrong. I hate to throw that out there, but
no. Nope. No.
He talked about something on Joe Rogan where he was asked to do a movie where he was going to play a Mexican drug cartel leader or something. He's uh-huh. like, I'd love to do that. And then his Bob's like, maybe not. Maybe not. Don't know. It'd be great. It'd be great. You could do a fucking biopic of Malcolm X and have fucking Robert Downey Jr. do it and I watch it. Because it'd be awesome. Happens Muhammad Ali.
I don't know about that.
As much of a smartass as he was, like, for reals?
True.
Oh, yeah.
He was a smartass.
He was. He was a fucking pro wrestling fan. Listen to him talk. He's cutting promos on fucking everybody that walked in front of him. Talking shit. He was Black Ric Flair. Not wrong.
True.
So, speaking of Black Ric Flair, what do you
got
this week?
He was Ric Flair before Ric Flair was Ric Flair.
No, Ric Flair was still Ric Flair at that point in time. He just wasn't, like, wrestling yet, but he was still that guy. But...
Well, I think Muhammad Ali's older.
Yeah, that's true.
Or was older.
Which one of them's still alive?
It's
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. Woo! It's almost
speaking
like
speaking of which, fucking Iron Sheik died today.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So, I thought he was already dead.
For no. I followed him on Twitter because I like listening to him just fucking berate Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Dude, hold on. I have a... I know this is completely off topic, but...
Off topic.
I found a picture of my favorite tweet that he ever put up. God bless you, America. All my dreams come true in this country, and I wish nothing but the best for all of my fellow Americans on this and every day. Except Hulk Hogan, you're forever a jabroni. God damn it, I love that man. So, what are you bringing to the table this week?
We're back.
For Nebraska's.
Nebraska's. So, Nebraska saw.
I like that better, actually.
Nebraska saw.
Heard to rename it.
Ah, it's almost like a sauce. Nebraska saw.
No, it's a combination. It's too far away from Arkansas, though.
Mm.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm stupid.
It's all right. I still like Nebraska saw. It's good. It's good. It's good. So, this week for the. My portion of the episode for the road trip, I am covering a little thing called The Legend of Blackbird Hill. Okay. Now, I got to start off a little background on it, which is kind of most of it, but the background on it. The first Nebraska Indian who's, Native American, whose name was Blackbird. He was the head of the Omaha tribe. And lived more than 100 years ago in Omaha country, which then extended on both sides of the Missouri River from Bow River in Cedar County to Papalinon Creek in Sharpley County.
I think we'd be remiss if we also didn't mention that this is also home to the fantastic delivery steak service, too.
Yeah, Omaha Steaks. Yeah,
they got good fucking steaks. They're not a sponsor, but hey, if anybody out there's listening, like, we'll take free meat. I got a freezer to fill, man.
I used to get them a lot from my uncle.
They're good.
And he used to live out there.
They're good. Even their hot dogs are good.
They still live out there. I never had a steak. Hot dogs. I've only had steaks.
They're good. So if you go over to omahasteaks.com and you order some stuff, you put in Dark Windows 15, they're going to tell you that that's not a valid promo code.
But whatever. Pressure them.
Send us goddamn meat.
Yeah. So Blackbird was one of the first Indian chiefs on the Missouri to do business with the white traders. He was very shrewd in his dealings. When a trader came to this village, he had him bring all of his goods into the chief's lodge and spread them out. Blackbird then selected the things he wished for. Blankets, tobacco, whiskey, powder, bullets, beads, and red paint.
How to get them beads.
And laid them out to one side, not offering any to pay for any of them. Then, calling his herald, he ordered him to climb to the top of the lodge and summon all of the tribe to bring in their furs and trade with the white man. In a few minutes, the lodge would be crowded with Indians bearing beaver, buffalo, otter, and other skins. No one was allowed to dispute the price. Prices fixed by the white trader, who was careful to put them high enough to pay five times over for all the goods that were taken actually by the chief. So by Blackbird. Because, you know, he knew that Blackbird wasn't going to fucking pay for anything.
Yep.
Blackbird.
We can call him Blackbird. We don't have to call him African American Bird.
Nope, because his name was Blackbird.
Exactly. So it's not offensive.
Blackbird and the traders grew rich together, but his people grew poor and began to complain. A wicked trader noticed that this and gave Blackbird a secret by which he could maintain his power. He taught him the use of arsenic to give him a large supply of that deadly poison. After that, the terror of Blackbird and his mysterious power grew in the tribe. He became a prophet as well as a chief. When anyone opposed him, Blackbird foretold his death within a certain time, and then within that time, a sudden and violent disease carried the victim off in great agony. Before long, all his rivals disappeared, and the people agreed to everything Blackbird wished. At last, an enemy came against Omaha, the Omahas, which not even Blackbird, with all of his medicine and mystery, could withstand. This was smallpox.
Ooh!
The white man's disease, which Indians had never known. It came among them curse. Yes.
They're about to.
They could not understand how it traveled from lodge to lodge and from village to village.
If they had had a government there to force a... Never mind. Because that conversation could go either one of two ways.
Yes.
Force them into something or force them into doing something.
The fever and the fearful blotches...
Fucking trail of vaccinations.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fearful blotches drove them wild. Some of them left their villages and rushed out on the prairies to die alone. Others set fire to their houses and killed their wives and children.
Whoa.
Two-thirds of Omaha tribe... Omaha tribe perished and never recovered. It never recovered after that.
I mean, it's probably full strength. Probably a good thing that most of them died off, because if not, that's how you make skinwalkers.
Yeah.
You know.
Blackbird, the great chief, was finally stricken. His gathered about his dying bed to hear his last words. He ordered them to bury him on top of a hill which rose several hundred feet above the Missouri.
You bury me face down so Custer can kiss my ass.
Yes, from which one could see up and down the river for 30 miles. Here the Indians watched for the coming of the white traders, and the latter, as they toiled against the current saw. Hold on. Say
the current sauce?
Yes.
What kind was it? Was it like A1, Heinz 57? No. Like a good quality barbecue?
I'm going to start that again.
Okay.
So, on top of this hill, Blackbird desired to be buried, seated on his favorite horse so that his spirit might overlook the entire Omaha country and first see the boats of the white man as they came up the river. The dying chief's command was carried out. The horse was led to the summit of the hill, with the dead chief firmly fastened upon his back. Then the sod and dirt were piled about them in a great mound until both were buried from sight. A pole was set in the mound, and upon it were hung scalps Blackbird had taken in battle. From time to time, food for the spirit of the dead was placed upon the mound by few Omahas who survived the smallpox scourge of 1800.
Before he died, he looked at his son. Here, my son, someday the white man will settle in the thousands to watch football. Mm. And over here, my son, the white man will build a steak factory. I wish to be buried between them.
Yes. Now, the reason why I mention all this stuff is because the area is said to be haunted. Okay.
Indian fucking burial ground. Now, dur.
Now, you would think that it would be because of the smallpox, you know, and fucking the smallpox outbreaks.
Yeah.
old dickhead, Blackbird, you know, killing off his enemies.
I think you're allowed to call him a dickhead. That might be a...
Whatever.
Somebody will get offended that you called an Indian a dickhead.
I don't care.
Even if he was a dickhead.
He probably wasn't. He was a dickhead. He killed his own people.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, with arsenic. Fucker. He couldn't fight him in arm-to-arm, hand-to-hand combat. You know, take him out. No, no, no. Cheating bastard.
Well, if he'd given us some of those beads, we could have given him rifles, but... Well, it would have been the other way around.
Well, so, yeah, it's said to be haunted by him and others. But, however, it's not actually the ghost of Blackbird who actually lingers there, but rather that of a young woman murdered upon this hill more than a century and a half ago. The story begins with a young couple back east who had fallen in love in the early 1840s. When the boy finished his schooling, he planned to travel abroad and then return to marry the young girl. On October 17th of 1849, the young girl was astounded when she saw her old fiancé walking up the winding path up from the Missouri River to her small cabin. He, too, was surprised, having no idea that she lived there. Overjoyed to see him, she confessed that she had never stopped loving him, and only married the other man because she thought he was dead. He then began to convey the tale of his previous years. When traveling abroad, he was shipwrecked but managed to survive. However, it took him almost 5 years to get back to America. When he arrived home, he was saddened to find that his mother had died and his fiancée had married another man and moved west. Setting out to find her, he joined a wagon train and headed for California, searching everywhere along the way for his long-lost love. By the time he reached the West Coast, he had failed to find her, and heartbroken, he began the long journey back home, traveling along the Missouri River. Landing one day at the foot of Black Hill, he saw the winding path up the slope and decided to follow it. That's when fate intervened and brought the long-lost pair back together. The girl told him that her husband returned home, or that when her husband returned home, she would tell him that she wished to be released from her marriage vows so that she could leave together, that they could leave together the next morning. Giving the couple time to discuss the situation, the young man did a hidden nearby woods. When the woman's husband returned home, she explained the situation, but he did not want her to leave, and at first begged her to stay. Then she refused. When she refused, he began to get angry and soon attacked her with his hunting knife. Nice. Screaming, she fell to the floor. The husband then dropped the knife and gathered up his bleeding wife. With her in his arms, he ran to the cliff at the top of the hill and jumped with her into the river far below. Giving chase, the young man arrived at the hill just in time to see the man leap from the summit and to hear the woman's final scream of agony. Collapsing with grief, the young man began to wander the hills aimlessly until he was finally found ragged and half-starved by a group of Omaha Indians. Delirious and able to speak, the Indians carried him back to their village, where he stayed until he could recover enough to travel. Today, the path from the cabin to the cliff edge is barren. Even more than 150 years later, no plant life will grow on the path that led to the below to the woman's death. And according to legend, each year on October 17th, the woman's chilling screams can be heard at the top of the hill. Over the years, dozens of people have reportedly heard her cries of terror.
Okay. Fair enough.
So yeah, that is the tale of Blackbird Hill and its haunting. Which,
yeah,
I mean, was like,
again,
that's kind of cool. Kind of you think from, you know, looking at the background that it would actually be, you know, Blackbird or his people that he killed or whatever that you
right.
would over the years that would be the ones haunting the area. But no.
No, because white people couldn't even let him have that.
Yeah.
Coming in and we're like, hey, we're going to fucking re-haunt this because
Fuck it.
You know, why not? So, yeah, we're going to take a super quick break and we'll come back and talk about another haunted area. Weird. Spoiler alert, Nebraska has no fucking cryptids in it. So
it has officially one.
Yeah, it's a lake monster, which, homie, don't play lake monsters.
No,
so.
Me either.
All right, so we are back and we are going to talk about Seven Sisters Road. So in the early 1900s, around Nebraska City, it's about an hour and a half. It's about an hour and a half south of Omaha. There's a family living in an isolated house at the end of a long dirt path. Seven sisters, parents, and a son. The young man and his parents are, you know, they don't really see eye to eye. They've had some arguments in the time leading up to this event.
Uh-huh.
As shit starts to get more and more heated, his sisters are obviously no help because they side with his parents, because anybody with a sibling knows that you never side with your sibling because it irritates the bejesus out of him if you don't. So that's the way you do it. So he is really, really not happy with this whole thing. So one day he's had enough of everybody's shit. He runs out of the house, past a bunch of hills, through the property up to a little secluded spot that he would go to when he was having a temper tantrum or, you know, losing his mind a little bit, up in the woods. And he's, you know, up there kind of sulking and pouting. As afternoon fades into night, he hears his parents' vehicle take off and leave for town. He knows they're headed in for a church activity that nobody else is going to. It's pretty much just a grown-ups only kind of thing. I don't know how old this kid is particularly. The sisters do range in age. I think he was somewhere in the middle of all of them.
Okay.
Once the car is out of sight, he heads back to the house. Starts, you know, he really turns the charm up here a little bit to really sell what he's trying to do. And he lures his sisters outside one at a time. As each one comes out, he overpowers them and he would hang one of them on top of each side, you know, each one of the different hills that he had passed. Just so happens he comes across seven hills on their property. How convenient, you know, one for each. Some died.
He fucking hated his sisters.
He did. He's a little shit.
Yeah.
So some died fairly slowly, where he was trying to hang them. It was more of a lynching.
Okay.
For the most part.
Okay.
But others were killed in different manners, which we'll get into in a second. A few of the hills have been kind of like bulldozed in the meantime, to make room for, you know, roads and other property and stuff like that. This shit happens everywhere all the time. You know, society expands and you lose your little chunk of land. Because eminent domain is a fucking joke. If you don't know what that is, look it up. It's basically where the government can come in and go, hey, I know you own this and you pay property taxes on it and stuff, but you got 30 days to get the fuck out because we're running a road through here. We're not responsible for where you land. Have a nice day. Some of the trees and the hills are still there, and there's still reports of hearing women scream as people drive down this road. Searches through the woods and also a nearby cemetery reveal nothing. If these sisters were indeed murdered along that road, they could potentially still be trapped there, which obviously, if you have people hearing things and stuff like that, it kind of makes you think maybe. And a nice, classic, wholesome, violent death like that kind of leaves ghosts kicking around. So from the time the sisters' bodies were cut down from the trees, reports of paranormal activity have kicked up, especially after L Street was open to traffic. Seven Sisters Road, when it was opened up to through traffic, has to be renamed because it was one of those roads where it didn't have a name. So they throw it on as L Street on the map.
Okay.
So in addition to the screams, people have reported hearing bells ringing. As people near the apparent source, which is the old cemetery, the ringing stops. And it's not like a church bell. It's kind of like, you know, like a small bell, like we put on, you know, a fucking strap or something. Not like a cowbell, but like a cat bell.
Yeah.
You know, like a little dingle dangly bell.
Yeah.
And obviously they never find anything. More cars. Oh, I'm sorry. Shit. Many cars have stalled out on Seven Sisters Road. Headlights dimming on their own, radios going out, interior lights going out, stuff like that, and then just eventually shutting off. Another pretty common thing with paranormal roads and stuff like that is having car issues. One couple's car stopped dead as they looked under the hood and found nothing wrong. Loud screams from the hill were heard from behind them. Went on for a long time, and when it finally stopped, the terrified couple managed to start their car and take off. One local out hunting in the woods spotted a figure in the distance staring at him, and the thing that caught him off guard was the red glowing eyes. He stood transfixed as he's watching this for a few minutes, and then it just kind of turns and runs off. Another man on a road trip stopped at a diner in Nebraska City to eat. There he heard a legend of Seven Sisters Road and decided he was going to go out and drive it because he's an idiot, like I would be.
Yeah.
Oh, haunted road? Fucking thank you.
Yeah.
If you ever find me in Wisconsin, you know goddamn right I'm going down Bray Road. I know it's a private road. I don't give a shit. I'll turn around somebody's driveway at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Whatever.
I'm going to see a werewolf. Okay. So as he's driving, he has his radio on, and as he's going, the stations are changing on their own. And just as the station changes to one last one, it switches over to, the Doors song, The End, and his car shuts off.
Oh, wow.
In the middle of the road. Yeah. I mean, it's a good song though. So
yeah,
fuck it. According to a feature story, on the area published by the Omaha World Herald, a Lincoln-based psychic medium, Cheryl Ann Fletcher, came across seven bodies hanging by nooses from the trees. Quote, their chests were blown open by gunshots, she said. And, of course, this was all psychically that she saw this stuff. She wasn't around for it. Because if you were a psychic back then, you were actually a witch. And you probably would have been run out of town on a fucking rail. Quote, the bodies were hanging above a graveyard in a wooded area. Which, no, they weren't there hanging from trees on the hills. So, fix your shit, lady. Calibrate it. Another one here. It was clear as day, as if they were you and me standing right here. She told the Herald, there were seven bodies, male and females mixed. The one that captured my attention was a little boy who was blonde and about 7 years old. She claims that she felt the phantom boy's chilling grip wrap around her wrist and pull her toward a weathered gravestone bearing no inscription. Then the boy introduced himself as Matthew, and the two chatted for a bit before parting ways. Fletcher later returned with a full paranormal crew to document the supernatural activity. The property owner of the location described to the team a terrifying experience he had in an open field in the area one morning when a ghastly creature with, quote, glowing red eyes shining like rubies slowly walked towards him as if it were a wolf stalking prey. Fortunately for the landowner, the entity eventually just took off over a nearby hill. Others have not been so lucky. Every single night for a week in November of 1968, there was a report made to the local police about a monster in the hills that would come out at around 11 p.m. One report claimed that a teenage boy was grabbed by the beast, scratched up, and tossed into a ditch. He was probably drunk. Or on LSD. It was 1968. You know what it was? This motherfucker's trying to get out of going to Vietnam. Got beat up by a ghost. I'm crazy. And be like, guess what? There's ghosts in Vietnam too, asshole. Grab an M16. Take a walk. Over the years, there have been many bone-chilling accounts coming from those who have visited the area. Another person says, if you're brave or foolish enough to jog in the backcountry road at night and end up near the spot, you may hear blood-curdling screams, as many others have claimed to. The most commonly told backstory to the paranormal phenomena begins with a belligerent farmer who lived on a road, who lived along the road with seven hills many years ago. One night, for some reason or another, the farmer snapped and hung his daughters one by one from tree limbs. So we get mixed stories here, because that's how folklore works. Each daughter was hung on a treetop among one of the seven hills, giving the area its name. Then there's obviously the other story that we told beforehand of the little boy doing it, the brother, maybe not a little boy, but the brother of whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Besides the screams, visitors speak of electronic glitches in the area. Not just with radios. They also, now that we're getting more modern, you have GPS fuck-ups, issues with more modern cars where the doors will lock and unlock as you're driving through by themselves, stuff like that. And tons of people keep seeing these red eyes all over the place. So that is the Seven Sisters Road in Nebraska.
Cool. That's cool. So,
yeah, it was a little short one, but that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Hey, but I mean,
they can't all be fucking Vermont when we get to that, which
we've already done Vermont.
No, we haven't.
Yes, we have.
Not on the road trip. We haven't.
It's true, but we've already covered some Vermont stuff.
Some.
Well, I mean,
some.
I think we've covered.
This is old country, bitch. We get to do it again.
All right. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What do you got for those headphones over there?
You know, Studio.
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
Sure are.
Go over, check them out. Studio.com. And find your headphones, Bluetooth earbuds, get your Bluetooth speaker, put it in your basket, go to checkout, put the promo code of DarkWindows15 to get 15% off your entire purchase. Speaking of getting a great deal,
go Patreon.com /DarkWindowsPodcast. $5 a month gets you 4 extra episodes, 1 a week. I'm not good at math, but that's not a lot of money per episode. No. And then we have a back catalog. We're up to like 72 episodes over there. And you get all of them. You get to listen to all of them.
Yeah, if you
want. Some are better than others, just like with the regular show, but it's fine.
You know.
But yeah, $5 a month. That's less than what it would cost you to get a coffee one day this week on your way to work.
Exactly.
Seriously.
Exactly. And
unless you're smart and you make your own coffee at home.
True. And you're saving a lot more money.
That's true. Or you can just not drink anything fun anymore and switch over to water.
What you're doing.
Yeah.
Haha. Uh-huh.
I dumped out half a soda with my lunch today. I was proud of myself.
Oh.
Yeah, I drank half a Coke with my lunch and dumped the rest of it out.
Hmm.
Switched over to the high test shit.
Nice.
So.
Nice. I'm proud of you.
Trying to not die before my kids get, you know, the kid gets old.
Okay.
So.
There you go. Good stuff.
Hey, sometimes I wish I just would, though.
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. You're not going to die. Also, going over to Facebook, we're on there. Dark Windows sure Podcast. We're in there. You can, you know, start up a chat and everybody will chime in, maybe, possibly. I mean, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Or we will.
Yeah.
And you can reach out to us on there. Also.
And hey, go over to Age of Radio's Facebook stuff. Here in the next couple weeks, we're actually going to be doing a live thing with Jeremy, who's the boss over there. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it could be interesting. That'll be the 22nd, and we're going to be going live at like 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, I really don't know what that entails. I'm sure he's just going to want to talk to us about the show and stuff like that, and get some exposure out there, because I mean, we're new at this. We've only been doing it for 5 years, so gotta pump them numbers up somehow. But anyway, until next time, or actually until Sunday, Sunday, if you're on Patreon, you'll get another one.
Yeah, and if you listen to Patreon right after this, it's like just a couple seconds from now.
Yeah, like we're gonna stop long enough for me to maybe eat. And then actually, I can just eat one because it's your turn to talk.
Yeah.
So just because you can't see out into the dark doesn't mean that the dark can't see into you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.